Not sure. I don't know. We are continuing Tanya at 31. Okay, so a little bit of a refresher since we missed last week. The notion of spiritual EDD, the emotional deficit disorder that we discussed, which is problematic because it disables a person from serving Hashem. So how do you overcome? How do you deal with that? And the answer was that this can be dealt with by crushing one's sense of self-importance and self-aggrandizement and ego, because this is what gets in the way. And deep down, there's a beautiful neshama, but the big walls that are built around it. And so, when a person takes the time to contemplate and think about their shortcomings, their failings, then that helps you get past your own arrogance, and it helps you then reveal your true neshama from inside. That's a very short synopsis of a very long idea, which the Alter Rebbe articulated in the last two chapters. But there's a problem. And the problem is that once we start to do that, then we might get depressed. We might get sad. We might get down on ourselves. And once we get down on ourselves, we're not going to be able to serve Hashem with joy. And that will not be a good thing. Because that's how we started this whole thing. We wanted to get excited about godliness. We don't want to go through the motions. We don't just want to be perfunctory of Ivdei Hashem. We don't want to be habitual daveners and learners. We wanted to immerse ourselves, engage ourselves in Yiddishkeit in a vibrant way, in a joyous way, in a passionate way. And the EDD got kicked in and it stopped it. So now we're trying to dismantle the enamel that kind of surrounded the neshama, and we're shattering the case, the encasement, that's disabling the neshama, and what we're left with is back in the same problem. Even worse. Now we're going to be really sad. Because after all this contemplation, and we realize our worthlessness, worthlessness. So we say we're so worthless, how can we even serve Hashem? The whole thing is a waste of time. And the person becomes depressed, and a person becomes sad, and then he's not serving Hashem with joy altogether. All that ever says, relax. It's all good. In fact, this sadness could be a positive thing, because it could stimulate joy. And he talked to us about the fact that the hatchet has a handle made of wood, and it's with the wood handle that the trees are chopped down. And he talks about this idea of you have to be able to sweeten judgment at its source, which we're going to explain now. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, "B'chol eitzev yil meiser." In all sadness, there should be profit. And he says that the yisrein, the profit of sadness, although sadness in Avedas Hashem terminology is not a good thing at all, and it doesn't really have anything redeeming to it. However, it leads us into a better place. The yisrein, the profit, is the simcha haba achara eitzev. That's the joy that comes after the sadness. And when one's in a sad state, the one's in a despondent state, and from there they come to a state of joy, the joy is much greater, the joy is much more intense. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain this in greater detail. And we are going to discover the difference between two very important Hebrew words for this morning's class. The first one is atzvut, and the second one is merirut. Literally translates as atzvut means depression, and merirut literally translates as bitterness, but I would like to translate it this morning as frustration. The difference between depression and frustration. When people are frustrated, they're in one state of being. When people are depressed, they're in a very different kind of reality. And now we're going to talk about the difference. The Alter Rebbe says, I know I told you that the sadness shouldn't faze you because ultimately something good can come from it. However, he says, Ach be'emes, in truth, as we continue now with the Perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st chapter, Ein leiv nishbar umeriras hanefesh arichuko me'er pnei Hashem. A broken heart, an embittered soul, on and because of its distance from the illuminating reality of divinity. V'hislab shusa b'sitra achra, the soul's distance from God, which is a source of light, and the fact that the soul is now trapped in a bodily reality, which is essentially an expression of the other side, the dark side, the concealed side. If the world does not reveal godliness, the world organically seems to conceal godliness, and I'm stuck in that reality now. So the Alter Rebbe says, that makes you feel bad? This gets you down? Don't worry. That's not called atzvos. Eino nikroim b'shem atzvos klal b'lashon HaKodesh. In Lashon HaKodesh, in the Hebrew tongue, which is extremely revealing, that's not called atzvos. That's not called depression. What is it called? Well, he's going to say it's called something very different. It's called Meridus. And why do you call it something different? So let's take a look at what the Alter Rebbe says, and then we'll try to talk about this a little. Ki atzvos hi shelibay mitumtum ke'evin. If you have to define depression, it means that your heart has become stone cold. Your heart is simply unresponsive. You're not dealing. Ein chayes belibay. There's no fervor, there's no vivifying force in your heart. Aval meridos velev nishbar. But when a person is bitter or frustrated, when a person has a sense of brokenheartedness about them, adarabba, on the contrary, harayesh chayes belibay. There's an enormous amount of vitality and energy that's in the heart. And this lehispoil ulehismarmer. This enables a person to react. It enables a person to become really frustrated, really bitter about something. All right, so in order to understand this, we need to maybe create a little schematic over here. There's going to be energy on the right, and there's energy on the left. The energy on the left is not any less potent than the energy on the right. They're both different forms of energy. So right-oriented energy would be bubbly energy, creative energy, happy energy, buoyant energy, exuberant energy. This would all be living on the right within the confines of what we call chesed. On the left, on the left, we would have gvura. So we would have the ability, the person has the energy within him to restrain himself, to pull himself together, to force oneself to do things that you don't want to do because they have to be done, because they're the right things to be done, to find courage, to continue to soldier on when everything seems to be collapsing around you, and you stay the course, and you keep your eye focused, and you know what the prize is, you know what the goal is, you know what the destination is. You're not going to be fazed by all the noises that are going on around you, and all the voices telling you you'll never succeed, and you can't accomplish this, and you just tune it all out, and stay focused. That's not a lack of energy. That takes tremendous energy. One could argue that the left energy is more powerful than the right energy. In fact, Alter Rebbe makes exactly this argument in Negeres HaKodesh, Shayich V'Emunah, where he says that the positive energy of divinity, the chesed, is God creating the world. And that's Olam Chesed Yibane. But in order for God to create the world in a way that's meaningful, in a way that we should play a role, I'm going to call now for 10 minutes. So in order for Hashem to be able to conceal the chesed, to conceal the revelation, so that nobody will see and know the presence of God, you have to have an even more powerful force. In simple words, the bouncer who takes the people out of the bar has to be stronger than the drunks. In order to control something, you have to be stronger than it. So if a person is going to think for a moment that on the left there's no energy, he's making a big mistake. It's full of energy. Now here is the clinical depression, the clinical definition of depression. When a person doesn't get out of bed for 3 days, they are clinically depressed. That's when we start looking at the possibility, not only of psychology, but also pharmacology. Why? We say this person has a problem. And just like a person who broke a foot needs a crutch, so a person who has something broken in their head, something broken in their psyche, needs a crutch. Not that they should be on drugs and narcotics, chas v'shalom, forever, but a person who has a problem might need a narcotic just to pull themselves out of the rut so that the body can heal. In the same way, we wouldn't tell a person who's twisted his ankle, walk on the ankle. My ankle's twisted. I don't care. If you don't walk on it, you're going to get used to walking on crutches. And then you're going to become an invalid on crutches. So therefore, we force you to walk on the twisted ankle and the broken ankle. Now, that's crazy. If you do that, the ankle will never heal. So what do we tell the guy? Get off your ankle, and you clearly can't walk on this ankle, and you're going to have a cast, you're going to have a wheelchair, you're going to have crutches, and your ankle will get, you'll get back to yourself, and then you'll be able slowly to stop using the crutches, and then stop using the cane, and eventually you will walk on your own 2 feet again. Now, truth be told, sometimes people get dependent. People don't want to throw away the cane. They don't want to throw away the crutches, because it becomes comfortable for them, and that's a problem. For this, you need something called occupational therapy, and occupational therapy is painful. Painful. People who went through this will tell you it's one of the most painful things to have to walk in the foot, and they force themselves. It's tremendous effort has to be expended to be able to get off of those crutches, because sometimes people just got used to the crutch. It's not different emotionally and psychologically speaking when a person is clinically depressed and they're not able to function at all and they need some kind of medication to be able to just get through the day. But at a certain point, a good pharmacologist, or I should say a good psychiatrist who deals pharmacology, his goal ultimately for most people should be to try to get him off the crutches. Now let's wean ourselves away from the pharmacology. A person says, I'm feeling a little down. Okay, then here's things you can do to pick yourself up. And the hope is that a person can wean himself off the pharmacology and become a normal functioning person on their own again. Now, there are people who spend the rest of their life in a wheelchair. That does happen sometimes. There are some people, Nebuch, who spend the rest of their life using medication in order to prop up whatever was wrong or broken psychologically and emotionally, which is shouldn't have a stigma. Just like a person can have a broken body, a person can have a broken tendon, a person can have a broken bone, you could have a broken chemical. Something doesn't work. But depression is when there's no energy. And the Alter Rebbe says what we're talking about here is frustration. And frustration has a lot of energy. In fact, frustration can be the single most motivating factor sometimes. Furthermore, the concept of klipa is rooted in arrogance. Klipa means, I don't recognize God. Who's God? I am all-powerful. I deserve everything. Why are bad things happening to me? How dare God do these things to me? I'm angry. I'm depressed because bad things happen to me. But if a person lives in a state of Kedusha, Kedusha means they live in a state of subservience and nullity before God. So if I'm subservient to God, no matter what kind of situation I'm in, I say, Hashem knows best. And I have so many good things. I'm so grateful for all the wonderful gifts that Hashem has given me. And that way a person doesn't get depressed and sad. As Alter Rebbe talked about earlier, that depression comes from arrogance. Now, if a person is frustrated because he feels far from God, because he feels that his davening is not up to par, because he or she feels that their learning is not up to par, because they know that their sensitivity and their compassion for other people is really not the way it's supposed to be. And they feel bad about this, and they're frustrated about it. They're frustrated about being aimless. They're frustrated that I'm not focusing the energy. They're frustrated about getting stuff done. I should put my mind to this. I should get it done. I should be a better yid. And you're frustrated about that. It's not about arrogance. On the contrary, a person's beating up on themselves. They're demanding of themselves. They're saying, you could do better. Hashem expects more of you. That's not a person sitting back at the couch and saying, well, things didn't go right for me. Okay, God, if you don't do things for me, don't expect me to do the things for myself. That's depression. That's spiritual EDD, when you're not functioning. Here we're talking about a person that says, I am going to do something about it. I'm going to take this bull by the horns, and I'm going to make the difference, because I'm frustrated and fed up with the way things are till now. It's the polar opposite, actually, of depression. It lives on the same side. It may live on the left side. They may live in the same neighborhood. They're very different animals. And the Alter Rebbe says, therefore, this is not a question of atzvos. Atzvos is all bad. From being lifeless and limp, from having depression and sadness, nothing good can come. Unless you appreciate the joy that comes after it. However, when we talk about a situation where a person is going to be frustrated, embittered, angry with themselves, and say, I need to change this. I know I can and I will. I got to figure out what I can do. There's always something that can be done. So when I figure that out and I decide I'm going to put my heart, mind, and soul to it, to make it happen, that's not going to get you down. On the contrary, says the Alter Rebbe, if this is what bothers you, that you're far from Hashem, do something about it. And in that case, we don't have that issue. We don't have the issue of sadness, depression, I need to avoid this, look at what a terrible situation I ended up into from all my contemplation. But the Alter Rebbe forewarns, it's true, it's not joy. Frustration is not joy. No, nobody will tell you it is. Rak shehi, this bitterness or frustration, is chayis mebchinas gevuras kedushas. This is vitality. This is energy. This is lively. But it comes from gevuras kedushas. It comes from the extreme nature of the left and what we call extreme restraint. Vahasimcha and joy comes mebchinas chasadim. That comes from the concept of chesed. So, you know, for example, it says that the great Tanoim, Shammai and Hillel, had very, very different sources. Hillel comes from the world of Chesed, and Shammai comes from the world of Gevura. What does Hillel's name mean? The name Hillel comes from the concept of Behilu Neira, that his light spills forth. And light travels at tremendous speed, and it gives. That's the nature of light. Light is giving. Light doesn't hold anything back for itself. It gives continuously. It continues to expand. Conversely, the concept of Shammai comes from the Pasuk HaSom Erchosev, the person who measures his steps. Shammai was very, very measured, very exacting in his standards. And because he had such high standards, he actually had Talmidim, he had students of a higher caliber. They were more intuitive, they were wiser, they were more brilliant. But Hillel's students were the majority, and the majority was not as brilliant. And the majority was not as exacting. The majority was not as demanding. But their virtue was the way that they understood they were tolerant of people and they had room in their lives for other people and they weren't so exacting and so demanding and so judgmental, and because of this they were able to rouse a nation. And that's why ultimately most of the time the halacha is like Beis Hillel. And most people were attracted to Beis Hillel. As they say, you get more bees with honey than you get with a sting. So this was the story of right and left. And Beis Hillel represents that right, and Shammai represents the left. But Chas V'Shalom, for us to dismiss Shammai or Shammai's students, they're held in the highest esteem, they're held in the greatest reverence. Sometimes the halacha actually is like them. And it says when Mashiach will come, the halacha will be like them. Things actually will change because the Chachamim will be wiser and more brilliant and more intuitive and more exacting and more precise and understand how Shammai's approach ultimately was what Hashem really wanted or what's ultimately right. Of course, we have to follow the majority. That's the halacha. Hashem says you follow the majority. So the majority now can't relate to that kind of brilliance, that relate to that kind of exacting standard. The point I'm trying to make is that there's a right and there's a left, and this kind of frustration definitely is not living in the right. It's not chesed. It's not joy. It's not exuberance. It's not happiness. It's not benevolence. It's frustration. It's anger. It's self-anger, that is. It's a drive to fix things because I'm bitter about the way things are until now. And I'm not going to stand for this anymore. But that's not depression. That's
why,
not sadness.
Why is that frustration, though? Aren't you just motivated to just achieve a higher standard? Like, there's, more self-motivated.
There's two ways a person can motivate. A person can motivate in a positive way, positive reinforcement. So somebody does something, and they do it well, and they feel good about it. And say, you know, that felt really good, and I accomplished this. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to try to do it even better because that is just so rewarding. It was edifying. Or a person is motivated because I did that, and it was a failure, and I know I could do better, and Hashem expects more of me. It's a very different kind of motivator. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right in saying that both are motivation. That's the Alter Rebbe's point. Depression is a demotivator. And frustration is a motivator. There was a famous Hasidic adage. I think this is attributed to the Baron Kalin. He said like this. He said that between merirus and atzvos, between depression and frustration, sometimes there's a very slender barrier. They look sometimes they look almost the same, but they're worlds apart. And the Hasidim used to say that the difference between merirus and atzvos is, he says, out of atzvos, out of depression, one crawls into bed. Out of frustration, one gets out of bed. So they're both very close to your bed. They're both living on your pillow. But they're worlds apart. Because one is a person motivating himself to do better, to do more. And one is a person losing all motivation. It's the ultimate demotivator. But they live in a very, very close proximity, close quarters. And therefore, they're worlds apart, but you don't see them as worlds apart. You know, there's a famous mashal of a person who saw two trains heading out of the station. And they were going virtually parallel, side by side. Very, very little space in between them. And the person said, there's two trains, they're going the same place. They said, no, they're going, one's going east, one's going west. He said, but I see they're going the same way. He said, yes, but they're slowly coming apart. And if you follow the tracks, you'll see the tracks go in very different directions eventually. So they look very similar. And that's why there was concern. And that's how the person said, oy vey, I had all this contemplation, I had all these thoughts, and now where am I? Problem. However, Alter Rebbe says, ultimately, this is not a bad thing. This can be a very good thing. Because the heart is inclusive of both. And he says, the truth is that sometimes you're not going to be able to use positive reinforcement. Sometimes only frustration will work. Why? Because a person sometimes in a situation where they're too comfortable with themselves. Laid back. Everything's fine. And when the person's laid back and satisfied, that could be a real problem. Satisfaction could be the ultimate motivator. Why should I try harder? I'm motivated. Why should I be motivated? I'm happy. Everything's fine. Now, really, in material matters, one should just be happy. Isaiah Asher, who's wealthy, Asameach Bechelke. But in spiritual matters, a person should not be happy. On the contrary, how could you be happy with who you are? You have to be always seeking a higher level, always trying to achieve more. And that, of course, is the world of difference between atzvos and merirus, frustration and bitterness, and Bezat Hashem. Next week we'll talk about the phenomenon that sometimes the only way to deal with certain elements in the soul is by utilizing that very same material. You need the same energy sometimes to neutralize the negative energy. You need negative energy. Like you cannot simply if there are certain foods or vegetables which taste bitter. And the only way that you can actually sweeten them is with fire. Not by throwing sugar on it. Not by dousing it in honey. But by, so to speak, the thing burns. But when you burn it, all of a sudden the burn becomes not only not distasteful, but it becomes something enjoyable. And this is the concept of that sometimes a person has to awaken this kind of gvuras in order to lahamtik hadinim, in order to sweeten dinim, which literally means to sweeten judgment. But we're talking here now about judgment. We're talking here about the left energy, the gvura energy, and that has to be sweetened sometimes, and that can only come with the gvura itself. Now, this Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue to study in the next class.
Thank you.